Hello, everyone, and welcome to Inspire Indeed on WRIRLP 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, radio for the rest of us. My name is Alan Hudson, and I'm your host this week for Inspire Indeed, a weekly show dedicated to discussing community issues and hearing from the people who are working to address them. Our guests on the show certainly inspire us to become even more engaged in our community, and we hope that it does the same for all of you tuning in today. Our guest today is Ann Pays, Executive Director of Big Brothers Big Sisters Services. Welcome, Ann.
Hi, Alan.
First, if you could tell us, what is the mission of Big Brothers Big Sisters, and what does that mission mean to you personally?
Our mission is to provide children with strong and enduring, professionally supported relationships that change their lives for the better forever. And for me, that's really important because kids need positive role models and they don't always have that opportunity in their own community or within their own families. And we want to help kids create academic success, build healthy lifestyles, and avoid risky behaviors.
Fantastic. Tell us, you know, how did Big Brothers Big Sisters Services get started here in the Richmond area?
Well, it started back in the early 60s. We were founded by Buford Scott, who is a legend in the mentoring community.
Yes.
And he is also active with Virginia Mentoring Partnership, one of our partners. And we worked with the JCs. And that was really interesting because young professionals continue to be a sweet spot for us in terms of volunteers. Young professionals tend to have the time and the skills necessary to be great mentors.
Oh, that's fantastic. If you could, tell us about that, tell us how that all started with the JCs. And if you could, for those of you tuning in, that's the Junior Chamber of Commerce, correct?
Yes, the JCs are a great volunteer organization across the country, and the organization here in Richmond has done many great volunteer projects. They saw the need for mentoring and reached out to our national office, and Big Brothers Big Sisters has been active across the country for more than 100 years.
Ah, wonderful. On your website, your programs are divided into core programs and then special programs. Tell us about your core programs.
Well, we have two core programs. The first is community-based programming, and that's probably what you think about when you hear Big Brothers Big Sisters. That means, Alan, you might come and pick a child up at his home, go do an activity with him, and return him to his home. And that is our most traditional. We ask volunteers to commit to about 9 hours a month in that program. Then we have our site-based program. The site-based program, you might hear of other things that are similar, like lunch buddies, where you go and mentor a child at their school or an after-school program, spend an hour with them every week during the school year.
And what type of time commitment is that?
The site-based, it's typically about an hour a week. We have a couple of programs with middle school students that are a little bit longer. And of course, the middle school students have longer attention spans, so that works out pretty well.
That's wonderful. Tell us about your special programs.
Well, the special programs are really targeted at matching children with mentors who will be able to meet their needs. Right now, we have really strong requests from parents of African-American boys. About 3/4 of our requests for mentors are from parents of boys, but only 1/4 of our mentors are men. So we've got a real mismatch in supply and demand. So our special programs try to address those needs. Right now, the two that are most important for us are our program serving the African-American community, and we really are reaching out to help people find mentors that are a little bit more like them, and that tends to have more positive impacts and better outcomes for the child. So we're working a lot to get mentors in the East End. January happens to be National Mentoring Month, and as part of National Mentoring Month, we're doing programs at the Peter Paul Development Center and at George Mason Elementary, and we're certainly looking for people to get involved in those. And if they're interested, they can look at our website, bigbrobigsis.com, and find out more information or check us out on Facebook. And the other one that's really important for us right now is military mentoring. And with military mentoring, we're serving children whose parents are in the military. Right now, we're at Fort Lee. And for 2014, we're expanding to Norfolk. And we're going to be serving middle school youth at schools. And all of their parents in the program must be enrolled in the military. And it's going to be a really exciting program to reinforce the values of the military and also help kids while their parents are serving abroad.
Oh, those sound like fantastic programs. So if you can, tell us a little bit about how you identify your client. And do you consider, you know, who do you consider to be the client? Do you consider it to be the children, the families, the community?
Well, we really see our clients in three phases. First, the kids that we serve. Second, their parents or guardians. And third, the volunteers, the mentors. And the kids are typically referred to us from the parents if they're in the community-based program. But we also get referrals from Richmond Behavioral Health Authority and other organizations like that. And for our site-based programs, they can be referred by after-school counselors. They can be referred by teachers or guidance counselors. And we get referrals for all kinds of kids who need our help. They might have an anger issue. They might be lacking confidence. They might need a healthy example in terms of relationships. And we have all kinds of unique examples as well. For instance, we had a teacher who reached out on behalf of one of her students. She was hearing and both of her parents were deaf. She just needed somebody to really reach out to her and practice speaking on a more regular basis to get her language skills up to par. So we get referrals from all kinds of sources. We really are trying to make sure that we provide great child safety. That's really what makes Big Brothers Big Sisters known for excellence. Each of our volunteers has to go through an interview. They have to have a background check and have references. And so that allows us to make sure that the child is in good hands, that the parents can be confident, and that we're serving the community in the best way possible.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. If you are just joining us, you are listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR LP 97.3 FM. You can hear previous shows on our blog at inspireindeed.blogspot.com. Today we're talking with Ann Pays of Big Brothers Big Sister Services. And what is your website again so that people can get more details?
Our website is bigbrobigsis.com.
Wonderful. Tell us how many children you serve each year, and yeah, maybe if you can differentiate between the different programs, and including the military under your specialty program.
Great. Well, we're serving about 600 to 700 kids a year. Over 90% of those kids receive free or reduced price lunch, and the bulk of them have single parents, and that's why they're really looking for help from a mentor. About 60% of the kids are in our community-based program, and the other 40% are in our site-based programs. We're serving kids in City of Richmond schools, Henrico County schools, Petersburg Parks and Rec, and Hopewell schools, and so those are great opportunities. In terms of our military mentoring, we've got about 30 kids enrolled at Fort Lee, and for our first year in Norfolk, we're going to enroll about 20 kids.
Oh, that's great. You know, if you had, how many, if you had unlimited resources, unlimited volunteers, how many kids could you be serving?
Looking at statistics in terms of the census and all of that, we find that about 3,600 kids a year could use our services. And so it costs about $1,200 a year to serve one child. And that's a pretty good investment because through a third party non-interested party, that they found that each dollar invested gets a $3.28 return. And so that is in lower cost for law enforcement, for juvenile detention, in community safety. So each dollar invested has a great return, and we just would like to have the opportunities to serve more kids in our community.
That's fantastic. And that study, there's something, a link to that on your website, isn't there?
There is. It's from a group called the Public-Private Policy Ventures, and that's at least close. And it's really shows the impact of mentoring over time, and Big Brothers Big Sisters has really put a lot of investment into making sure that our outcomes are measurable and achievable and that we can prove that kids are getting a benefit from our service.
Oh, that's great. Would you mind talking about a little bit about your outcomes?
We are really promising our kids who are enrolled and their parents and our volunteers as well that they're going to find outcomes for the youth in terms of increased academic success, creating a healthy lifestyle, which includes everything from building positive relationships with adults and peers, to exercise and all kinds of things. And our program is very individual. The mentors and children each have a relationship based on specific interests. So each child's outcomes are a little different. And then we also help kids to avoid and reduce risky behaviors.
Very good. And risky behaviors, how would you define those?
Everything from being truant at school and to smoking or using alcohol. And we find that particularly at our site-based programs, I love it because the kids have much better attendance on the days that their big brother or big sister is coming to school.
Oh, that's fascinating. Can you share a story with us about a child whose life has been transformed by being part of Big Brothers Big Sisters?
There are obviously many stories every year, but one of them that I really like because it's focused on outcomes happened over this summer. And one of our big brothers and his little brother decided to focus on goal setting. They found one of their common interests was fitness. And the little brother was in middle school, and he decided he was going to be on the track team. He wanted to improve his time in the mile. So they really set out with the goal to improve that mile time. At the beginning of summer, his mile time was 13 minutes. They exercised outside. They did research about training and working out. They worked out at the Y, which is one of our partners, and by the end of the summer, his mile time was down to 8 minutes. And the thing is, it didn't just end there. It wasn't that he improved his mile time. It was that he learned how to set a goal and how to achieve it. And so then the big brother worked with his little brother to apply that for the school year. And how do you set goals and planning to do your schoolwork and attending school on a regular basis? And all of that has really paid off. The little brother found a lot of increases in his grades this year, from a lot of C's to a lot of B's. So that's something that everyone can be proud of and shows the impact of having a big brother.
Oh, that's fantastic. So it's much more than just the 8-minute mile.
Although yes.
That itself is pretty impressive. Tell us about the volunteers. Who are they? You mentioned a little bit about the origins of the JCs and all this, but tell us about who your volunteers are today.
Well, we have very few requirements. You have to be 18 years old or older, obviously. You need to go through our interview process and our background checks and have people who will serve as references for you. But we really like everyone. We're specifically looking for male mentors, but we just like to find people who have a commitment to the youth in our community and are willing to spend in the community-based program 9 hours a month or in our site-based program about an hour a week with the little brother or little sister.
Do you have any stories about volunteers whose lives have been transformed through this process? Again, I'm sure there are a lot of them, but is there one that comes to mind?
There is. Actually, our big sister of the year, Zanira Hassan, is a fantastic person, and she got matched with her little sister because the families had similar religious beliefs, and the mother really wanted her daughter to find a good role model in their religion, but also in their interests. And it's been great because they both have learned a lot about their faith, but they also have learned about their personalities, about their interests outside of religion, and have been great school partners. And so Zanira, during the bulk of this time, has been getting her PhD in pharmacology, and her little sister obviously has been a school student, and her little sister has been a great study partner. And so now they have some great news this year. The little sister was accepted to Virginia Tech's business school with a scholarship, and Zanira will be graduating with her PhD. And so they've gotten a lot out of it in terms of learning about themselves, but also having fun.
Oh, that's great. And you mentioned study partners. That's something
yes.
I wouldn't have guessed.
Right. And it's really interesting because our volunteers kind of come in these two sweet spots of really younger professionals or people who are retired and don't have their own kids at home in the community-based program. And then in our site-based program, a lot of the volunteers are working professionals with their own kids that want to make sure they have time on the weekends for their kids, but also are still committed to the community.
I'm just going to go off script here for a second. What do you think really drives the volunteers? I mean, it's a fairly extraordinary commitment to be a big.
We ask all the volunteers to commit for a minimum of 1 year. So it is a really big commitment. And we find that some of our volunteers have committed and become so invested in their relationship that they stay 5, 7, 9 years. Our longest lasting relationship right now is at 9 years officially in the program. And the drive really comes from wanting community change. It is so much about the individual relationship, but it's also the impact that the child can have on their peers and on their family. Frequently, you hear statistics like it takes 7 generations to get out of generational poverty. And with having the positive influence from the big brother or the big sister, the kids are able to make leaps and bounds of success and getting out of generational poverty a lot quicker. And so I think the mentors really see that that one relationship has a much bigger impact.
Oh, that's very powerful. That's very powerful. Let's talk about your career progression. First of all, what drew you into the nonprofit world?
Well, I had always been involved with community service from a young age. I remember my mom and dad volunteering when I was a kid. And then I was a very involved student in college. And my dean of students said to me, "Ann, did you know you can do this for a living?" And I thought about it. No, I hadn't really thought of that. So I ended up going to graduate school and getting a graduate degree in education. And it kind of went from there. It's been a really powerful experience for me because one of my first mentoring opportunities was when I was in high school and I mentored elementary students to have a drug-free and alcohol-free lifestyle. And so this is kind of bringing me back to some stuff that I've done throughout my life.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And how did this path lead you to Big Brothers Big Sisters?
Well, I've always been interested in the fundraising side, and Big Brothers Big Sisters is entirely donor-supported and volunteer-driven, and we don't have any earned income, so the fundraising piece of that was really important, and we had to focus on making sure that our donors are getting the most impact for their dollar, and I love that Big Brothers Big Sisters has measurable outcomes. And so that all paired together very nicely, and that I get to work with youth and keep some of my favorite things that I've done in my career, put it all in one place.
Oh, that's wonderful. Tell us a little bit about your revenue and where it comes from. You mentioned that there's no earned revenue.
Right. So that is a really challenging situation because you have to plan based on the generosity of others. We get funding for a lot of our special programs, for example, military mentoring or mentoring at a particular school from local businesses. And that local businesses are very generous, including our Fortune 500s like Altria and Genworth. And so we're very grateful to them. But we also have small businesses that partner with us to fund a particular site, and then, of course, individual donors. Individual donors can fund anything from a series of background checks for $50 to a back-to-school party for $250. So there are a variety of ways that people can make an impact on a really realistic schedule.
That's great. For those of you who are just joining us, you're listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR LP 97.3 FM. Today, we're talking with Ann Pays of Big Brothers Big Sister Services. Ann, if you could, tell us about some of your community partners. You've already mentioned the YMCA and a couple of other agencies. Tell us about those partnerships.
Well, it's really important for Big Brothers Big Sisters to have partners because our mission is very narrow. We only focus on mentoring. And so we work with a variety of other agencies. For our site-based programs, we work with communities and schools. They help us target the appropriate children that need our services. And also, if volunteers don't have a directed way to get into the school, they direct volunteers to us so that we can help them and support the volunteer throughout their experience. We also work with guidance counselors at the Henrico County Public Schools and the Hopewell Public Schools. As I mentioned earlier, we do work with Fort Lee, and then we also work with Petersburg Parks and Rec, and then, of course, the businesses who are providing the mentors, which is great. A lot of the businesses provide an extended lunch hour to their employees to allow them to do the volunteering on a consistent basis. In our community-based program, the Y is fantastic to us. All of our matches, as long as they attend together, can go to the Y for free. And so that's a huge benefit to the matches. We also have tons of businesses that provide discounts to our matches to engage at their place of business, whether it be a discount to go pottery painting or to go jump on trampolines. There are all kinds of opportunities for our kids to get engaged in the community. And then we also get a lot of free tickets from very generous arts organizations throughout the community, like Virginia Repertory Theater and the Richmond Symphony.
That's great. I have to imagine you attended some performances over the past couple months with the
yes.
holiday season just behind us.
Yes. A lot of our kids just attended the Nutcracker with their bigs, and they had a fantastic experience. And we're looking forward to, in January, going to see Don Quixote.
Very good. Where do you hope to see Big Brothers Big Sisters in the next 10 years?
Well, we have a lot of aspirations. We certainly want to serve more kids. When you think of going from serving 600 to 700 kids a year to serving potentially 3,600 kids, we would love to move up in that range. But that also requires an increase in our funding. And as we mentioned, we're entirely donor supported. So that is really important to us to find sustainable ways for people to make an investment in our programs. And we also want to see Norfolk expand to not only serve youth with parents in the military, but also to serve children throughout the community, because there are lots of kids in Norfolk that could use our help as well. And just generally to become more engaged in the communities, that we're not only providing individual care to a child and the parent and the mentor, but that we're creating change in the community.
That's great. And if you look out way into the future, 50 years in the future, what do you see?
In 50 years, we really want to continue to serve more families, but also look at serving more specialty populations where the families may not have English as their first language, or they might be in a homeless situation. And how do we help children that don't fit our traditional model but still need a mentor?
Okay. Now, I've got to imagine there's some listeners sitting at home wondering how they can get involved. What are the ways individuals or groups can volunteer with you all?
Well, our great opportunity with volunteers is really that one-on-one relationship. And that is a significant commitment, but we find that people get a lot out of it. And we ask for mentors to commit for 1 year, either about 9 hours a month in our community-based program or about an hour a week in our site-based program. And we're especially looking for men. I can't hammer that one home enough. Our supply and demand is really mismatched. We need a lot more male mentors. And then in terms of groups, we have our annual back-to-school party or holiday party, things like that. And for groups that would like to lead activities for the kids, those are great opportunities. And we can always, of course, use help in the office. And then, of course, really importantly, donations. We really are looking for people to make an investment in the kids in our community. And as I mentioned earlier, with a dollar really turning into $3.28 in benefits for every dollar that's invested, it's a great opportunity to make some significant community change.
That's wonderful. You've mentioned the importance of mentoring several times and how it's been a real driving force for you. Was there a mentor, one or two mentors in your life that you could point to that you might be able to tell us about?
There are lots of them. I would have to say one of my favorite professional mentors is Jim Narduzzi, who is the dean of the School of Continuing and Professional Studies at University of Richmond. And Jim really taught me how to treat other people professionally and how to give them the respect and care that they deserve. And Jim has continued to be a great support to me many years now after I've worked at University of Richmond, and I hope I've repaid the favor. And then, certainly my dean of students at University of Virginia, who is the one who got me started on my career path in nonprofit, and he was really tremendous in opening my eyes that this was even a possibility, that you could make a living and really make a significant difference in the community.
Oh, that's great. And to folks out there just starting out in the nonprofit world, tell us, is there any advice that you'd have for young nonprofit professionals?
I would say don't be afraid to get your hands dirty and pick up whatever piece is needed at your agency. You're not going to have maybe as clear of job definition as you might at a traditional job, and be willing to step outside the box and do what you need to. And I think the other thing that's really important when you're working in nonprofit is that your job is not your service. You really have to do volunteering on your own time that is not with your agency. I do a lot of volunteering through my Rotary Club, and that has been a really significant experience to me because I see how other agencies treat their volunteers. I get the feeling that I've really contributed because at Big Brothers Big Sisters, I get paid to be there. And so I need to do something for the community as well.
Oh, that's great advice. Thank you, Anne. And I'm thrilled you were able to be with us today. One last time, that website of yours is?
BigBroBigSis.com.
Great. And I'm thrilled that all of you tuning in today have been able to join us too. Also, a big thanks to our fellow volunteers here at WRIRLP, including Nick Naftali, Jay Westerman, and Jack Mayock, who help on the technical side of getting this live show on the air. Brittany Tracy, who manages to keep our Inspire Indeed blog up to date at inspireindeed.blogspot.com, and Jesse Johnson, whom you'll find down here managing the soundboard. If you want to learn how you can join the team at WRIR and donate, please go to WRIR.org. We count on your support to keep this local voice on the airwaves. And finally, a big thanks to my Inspire Indeed partners, Elaine Summerfield and Mark Hickman. My name is Alan Hudson, and you've been listening to Inspire Indeed, a show that focuses on community issues through the lens of nonprofit leaders making a difference in our community. Thanks for tuning in today.